Welcome back to Biff, a podcast about superhero TV shows, movies, and themed beverages. My name is Dan Morin, and I'm joined this week by my fellow compatriots. As always, John Moltz is here. Hi, John.
My favorite superhero is Punchy Guy.
Yeah, he hits a lot.
Is that true? I don't think that's true.
Also here,
I don't,
is Punchy Guy himself, Guy English. Hi, Guy.
Punchy!
I think you mean peachy.
Is that your catchphrase?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's it. That's my catchphrase as I just...
They market tested it for a while, I'll tell you.
Yeah. I spent a lot of money on that one. But yeah, I mostly just hug people. It's...
He busts in on some bad guys and yells punchy.
I think those like starts hitting them. Yeah, like a little rabbit punches. Yeah. That's how I picture it.
Yeah.
Whereas a giant Canadian flag. That's...
I miss you guys.
Just drenched in maple syrup.
Yep, so of course, in
John,
Quebec, I believe they call him Punchy
one
Guy,
night,
right?
Okay, and we don't bring that up. And you know what? It didn't work. What? It's all sticky, and it's just, it doesn't work. It's not lubricant.
I believe what Guy means
turns out
is, I hate syrup. It gets everywhere.
It's coarse.
Right. Coarse. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we're back. I know you demanded it, and here we are.
Yeah, sorry.
You may have regrets. We may have regrets.
Lord knows we do.
There's enough to go around. We are going to start covering WandaVision, which debuts tomorrow as we record this. We haven't figured out exactly what our schedule is going to look like for doing that, but look for another show sometime, probably on the earlier side next week, hopefully. And we'll talk about, I believe the first two episodes drop tomorrow, Friday the 15th. So we'll probably be watching both of those and talking about them. I think we're all excited to get back on the horse of recapping superhero shows, because God knows we need some normality.
As opposed to the
heroine. Yes. As opposed to that. But in the meantime...
I'm just laughing because I made a joke over text about strangling a horse.
Probably something you don't want to admit to on a podcast.
I would never ever do. They're beautiful animals.
No offense, but I gotta imagine that's not easy.
It's not easy, yeah. Which is why I made that joke. And I'm sorry. Yeah. I would never strangle a horse. Anyway,
But what about Punchy Guy?
Punchy Guy.
We like. I feel like, you know, maybe he tried to punch a horse, but it would actually be more like just giving a horse like a massage, like one of those like shiatsu massages.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Magic.
Do you
fingers.
Know what? Yeah. I've cleaned a lot of horses' shoes. I used to ride horses. My sister was very adamant. Yeah.
This is part of Punchy Guy's backstory I was not aware of.
No, I did. I have a real relationship with horses. No, I'm not even joking. John's laughing at me, but I do. I really do. Like,
there's a farm near here that got shut down because of that kind of thing.
No, but I really do. I've had a lot of experience in my life around horses, and I regret having texted you that I'm gonna strangle a horse.
Yeah. Horses are great people.
We are edging perilously close to an explicit
BoJack,
tag this week.
BoJack, you know, notwithstanding, horses are mostly great people.
Yeah.
Sure.
Guys, want to talk about some superheroes?
Yes, please.
All right.
BoJack doesn't count?
Let's start. I'm going to kind of work backwards to forwards with some of the older news that we haven't covered in the past few weeks as we've been off or doing other stuff. Green Arrow and the Canaries will not be going to series. Apparently, one of the things I read suggesting the reason it took so long to get a final answer on that was that they had tried shopping it around kind of to other places, including HBO Max, since, of course, Warner owns them, and there were no takers. So the Arrow presence on the CW or other Warner like streaming properties is reached an end, at least for the moment. And I feel like in our text discussion about this, nobody was terribly broken up about it.
No, No, not really.
And not that I don't think that because that show couldn't have been like fine. I don't think any of us felt like the pilot, backdoor pilot for it was like terrible or anything. It was just, it seems like that formula may have worn out its welcome a bit.
I think so too. Yeah, I mean, when you look at some of the other stuff that's coming out, it seems like a lot of these CW shows are not quite as good as, I mean, not as good as, you know, say Stargirl is going to the CW, but Stargirl is, at least the first season was of a much higher quality than the stuff that we've been watching.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And some of that's the production stuff too, right? Like they clearly put more money into it, especially because it was on DC Universe at the time. Interesting to, it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out when it moves to broadcast, whether it takes a hit.
I don't think that we like Stargirl because of the production quality.
It didn't hurt, though. Yes.
No, it certainly didn't hurt. Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's, yeah, I mean, it's slightly better written, but it's also better written because it was shorter.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, and you know, that's not to say, again, I think we all are still remain big fans of Legends of Tomorrow.
Like, do we know if it's going to go to like 24 episodes?
I don't think so. I would doubt it. I think they're, I mean, they run Legends at well under 20 plus episodes. Yeah. And I think they realize that
another
there's an advantage.
Why Legends
to that
is really good.
Yeah. So, like, again,
honestly, they could do 3 a year and I'd be an adamant fan. Just,
yeah.
Take your time, do it right. They're killing it. They are really, it is absurd. And silly and dumb, and it is beautiful. And more of that. And I really, really appreciate what they're doing with Legend.
The CW lineup is going to look a lot different this year as a result of that. I mean, so I think Batwoman also comes back this weekend. There is the Superman and Lois show that will be debuting soon. Black Lightning and Supergirl, I don't think they have air dates yet, but they're both in their last seasons. And so that, you know, really there will not be, there's sort of a phasing happening. I think the longest running show now is Flash, which I have to be honest,
Flash?
I don't, is it? I hadn't seen that, but
I thought they had said,
they said Supergirl.
We'll research that.
They have announced Supergirl and Black Lightning. I do not think they have announced Flash ending yet, but I would not be surprised to see that happen within the next season or two.
Yeah.
Seems like
Flash is all a blur for me. Zing!
Oh, what a punchy guy.
Cut to commercial.
Mark, Bon Mo.
Turns out punchy guy is just making dumb 80s jokes.
So, yeah, I mean, I think the face of the lineup is changing, and that's probably a good thing. I would be, you know, interested to see them, you know, make fewer shows or fewer episodes of shows, but spend more on them, as we just discussed with Stargirl, basically. I think that's a
I must have conflated that with Supergirl.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought they had announced that this was the last season of Flash, but no.
And as a result, I read just recently, just before coming on the show today, that, and I think we had known this, that they had canceled the Batwoman Supergirl crossover, but that was, you know, sort of reiterated because of the COVID stuff, right? Like they can't cross pollinate the casts and crews.
I see.
So they can't film.
No big crossover this year,
which is, you know, also means it's the last year for Supergirl. So basically no more crossovers for Supergirl. Which is probably, again, you know, could be a benefit. I think with a leading actor switch on Batwoman, shoehorning in a crossover, I think, would have potentially taken a lot away from that. So hopefully this gives them more time to focus on that story rather than having to, like, set up the pieces for a crossover. But yeah, so the CW, you know, which certainly paved the way for a lot of the superhero stuff on TV, I think it definitely feels like the era for that is coming to a close, especially as Marvel is ramping up its streaming stuff, and Warner is going to be doing similar stuff on the DC side, clearly, although their approach is very different. We also had some, there was a lot of discussion about the Batman franchise. In the time that we were away from this, because there are apparently multiple Batman stories in production with different Batmen.
I believe it's Batsman.
Batsman, excuse me. Thank you, John. They are attorneys Batsman.
I'm going to spend the rest of the show laughing about that dumb joke. I'm bringing myself together. Okay. Oh, go ahead. Batsman.
Batsman.
Yes, sorry, Dan.
Yes, mm-hmm. No, sorry. This is a serious show where we talk about serious things.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, that's us. So there was a discussion about essentially, I guess, a movie where Batman will be played by Ben Affleck still, but also a movie in which he will be played by Michael Keaton in like a supporting Batman role. And nobody really knows what that means. There's been a lot of speculation around Batman Beyond being a property that like is getting revitalized. I will say I recently rewatched several of the first episodes of Batman Beyond, which I hadn't seen in a long time.
Yeah, but they need a kid for that, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
a British kid. It, yeah.
No, they don't need a British kid. They need a kid that's not a British kid.
You know it's
going to
be a British kid.
Only because the British people are better than the American people. And don't get me started on that.
Oh, boy.
And no, they're not. No, they're dumb, too. Everybody's dumb. You need a Canadian kid. That's what you need.
No, the Canadian kids do TV. The British kids do movies.
Hmm. That makes sense.
You got Drake. Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. Okay.
No, I love the idea of passing on the mantle of Batman to an understudy. I really do. If they do that, I would love to see it be I don't know, just somebody of color. Like I want to see Batman be a good white guy. I want that. I want that to be a part of the character. In that, this is a character that has sort of poorly, but addressed and directly attacked injustice. Let us see him do actually something in his, like, a firm.
I have all this money and I'm going to be punchy guy.
Right. Let us see him do something that affirms an injustice and recognizes it and tries to do better.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see from Batman. Yeah, okay.
I'm not sure I trust the people in charge at Warner Brothers to do that.
No,
right.
No, I'm not.
Unfortunately. They did a pretty good job on Wonder Woman. You know, I mean, they did a good job in the first Wonder Woman.
Yeah, even the second one was, I know where they're coming from. I can see it. It didn't land. No. But I get it. But I do get it. Just please do something. If you're gonna do that, do it right. That's all I ask. Yeah. And not in a fanboy way. I don't care about the comics. I don't break everything. I don't care. None of that matters. Just do the right thing narratively for the cultural moment that we're in. These characters don't exist because they are who they are. They exist because they are who we want them to be. And I think that is the essential nature of being a superhero. Being a hero, ultimately.
Yeah.
But being a superhero on the grand level requires you to address the moment in a way that we can all understand and appreciate and get behind. And holy cow, zing, Batman reference. Do you think we need that right now? I think we do. Well, that would be awful. That would be awesome.
I think you can make a... I actually think you can make an argument that Warner Brothers is in some ways better situated to be able to make that kind of move if they were so inclined.
I think so.
because of the fact that they aren't sort of slavishly adhering to canon, right? Like they are, they've shown a willingness to try a bunch of different stuff and not feel burdened to an interconnected universe.
I just mean, I don't, you know, I don't have trust.
I'm not disagreeing with that, John. I'm saying, I'm saying on the optimistic side, I'm not saying that they like their execution is there, but I'm saying they are poised to be able to do that. They've already shoved aside continuity and said, we're willing to do looks at stuff that are different, like Joker or whatever. It's like, so great. That's good. You are free to do that. So now that you have that freedom, why not exercise it by taking some chances on stuff? And I'm kind of intrigued because just this past week, our friend Lisa Schmeiser pointed us to a piece in The Ringer talking about, I guess there's a run of Batman in the comics that is debuting soon where Lucius Fox's son has taken up the Batman mantle in the future. And I mean, again, it sounds interesting. We've talked before about like the pitches for like a black Batman character and what that would look like. And I think, you know, that I think there's a lot of potential there, as Guy's saying, for a story that resonates much more than, you know, what we do not need right now in some ways is, you know, rich white vigilantes
beating up the poor.
When you put it like that.
Yep.
Yeah. It's
throwing
bad
it out there.
It's real, real bad. It can't go on. It's just, I get where it came from. It's done. Write better stories.
I've never gotten into the Batman Beyond stuff. One of my favorite runs of Batman was when Dick Grayson took over as Batman, Damian was Robin.
I have to say, I rewatched Batman Beyond. I saw it as a kid, growing, actually probably older than a kid. When was it come out? Like late 90s or so? I was like a late teen,
I think,
early 20s. Yeah. And I think what appealed to me about it at the time was that it was clearly very aimed at like, you know, I was trying to pick up on sort of the zeitgeist of anime and stuff like that, because it's got a very Asian inspired aesthetic to it. You know, it's always funny to me. I was commenting to a friend after having rewatched the first couple episodes, the stuff they get right and the stuff they get wrong. And sometimes wrong wildly in both ways. Like in the first episode, we live, you know, Gotham City in the unspecified future, but probably less than like, you know, 50 years, because Bruce is still around, is got like Blade Runner style pyramids and flying cars and all this stuff. And yet in the first episode, Terry has to use a landline. And I just started cracking up at that. Who's going to have landlines 50 years from now?
John Maltz. Maltz is going to have Atlanta.
There's an aesthetic to it I really enjoy. And I think what's the best part about it is the relationship between Bruce and Terry. Especially with Kevin Conroy voicing crotchety old Bruce Wayne, is a lot of fun. So I'm going to sort of dip in and out of that a little bit, but I think there's a cool story you could tell with that in some, or parts you could steal off it, right? Like that would let you tell an interesting story.
Yeah.
Whether that's what this Michael Keaton project is, literally, I don't think anybody knows. There's some suggestion that is he appearing maybe in the Flash movie? Like, so there's some Flashpoint discussion about it. So kind of unclear about what exactly happening with that. I am not the biggest, like, I like Michael Keaton. I like him a lot, but like the original Batman movies, I don't have like sort of nostalgia for them, because I thought they were terrifying when I was a kid.
Oh no. The first one's really great. And the second one is underappreciated. And that's as far as I'll go defending those movies.
Yeah. So I'm
far enough
happy to see Michael Keaton reappear, because I like him as an actor, but that's not, those movies do not mean as much to me as some of the other types of media. So
yeah.
Wow.
Michael Keaton, baby. Come on. Are you kidding me?
I'm not.
I want to see Michael Keaton versus Michael Caine. That's what I want.
Is Michael Caine
the Alfred? That's all you've ever wanted.
Michael Caine the Alfred to Michael Keaton's Bruce Wayne?
Yeah. 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 I want it. I don't care.
Okay.
It doesn't need to make sense. I want that.
All right. You heard it here first, Warner Brothers. We've also got some news. Kevin Feige was talking, I think, in advance of the WandaVision debut, and he mentioned that Deadpool 3 is in development with Ryan Reynolds, and mentioned that it would be coming into the MCU and that it would be R-rated again, which is, you know, I think a lot of us had questions about how Disney slash Marvel would handle the Fox stuff that it had reacquired. And I feel like, and perhaps we've discussed this in the past, I don't remember, like Deadpool seems like one of those things that you can kind of just bring over wholesale because it doesn't really make any sense. Like, it's very fourth wall breaking. It's very irreverent.
Nobody expects it to.
Right. And, and that's
it
fine.
It doesn't just not make any sense. It is aggressively not making sense. Right? Like, it wants you to know that, like, it's giving you the two fingers at every time. And then chopping them off. And then stuffing them up your ass.
And then punching a horse.
That's, yeah. And and then, sadly, strangling a horse. No, it is a... Here's the thing. I don't like Deadpool. I don't care for it. I don't care for the character. I really enjoyed both of those movies. I don't know how... There's a magic to something that Ryan Reynolds does there that I could not have anticipated.
Yeah.
The character's awful. Everything's awful. Everything that is happening is awful. It's all dumb. It's all trite. And it is by the numbers. And yet, Ryan Reynolds just charms his way through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it is beautiful, and I enjoy them, and I love them. And I know that while it's going through the beats, I still fall for them. And that, as the character of Deadpool is always breaking the fourth wall. It is a character that accepts that it is, an artifact of being a comic book.
Yeah.
And in so many ways, these movies, the Deadpool 1, Deadpool 2, did exactly that. Not just in the way that the character addressed the screen, but in the way that they were written. They hit every beat. And they nailed it. And it worked. They are playing jazz. They are appreciating what it should be, and they're teasing out what it could be. They're making jokes about it. They're riffing on it. And, man, I don't like the character. I've got no space for him or the Punisher or blood and murder, especially after recent times. But, man, I gotta tell you, those movies are actually really deeply good. They are insightful. They carry a message, and they are done well. And that's the end of my rant. because I pause so often that you guys never know when to pick up. So
yeah, just could you, if you could end every sentence whenever you're done,
I'm glad you're that self-aware.
Yeah, could you say?
I'm very I am so self-aware that I'm not ultimately happy with myself. Yeah. But yeah, honestly, I really do think that about those movies. I don't like them. I don't like the character. I don't like Punisher. Guess what? Season one of the Punisher was great.
Yeah.
It was great. And it was great, I think, for some of the same reasons. You need to be aware of what you're doing and take responsibility for it. And I think both the Punisher season one and certainly the Deadpool movies did exactly that. They killed it. They were literally, they were great.
I think from a also, Disney perspective.
Ryan Reynolds, Canadian. That's why he's good.
He sent me a Christmas card this year. It's very nice of him.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah, that's because I'm on one of his cell phone network that he bought.
Man.
You're on his cell phone network?
So he bought Mint Mobile, the company that does like a mobile provider, and he does all the ads for it now because he legitimately bought it. So I am a subscriber because they were a sponsor on one of the podcasts, and he sent me a Christmas, literally like a generic Christmas card, but it was pretty surprising to get a Christmas card with a picture of Ryan Reynolds on it. My wife was like, why do you have this?
Yeah.
No, Ryan Reynolds
pissed.
And I,
I'm
buddies.
Pissed. That guy.
Ex-punchy guy.
He's Canadian. Also, he's a friend of, John August.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, of people that I'm connected to with that, 6 degrees separation, I'm closer to Ryan Reynolds than probably most people in Hollywood.
Right. I'm Canadian. There's, 8 of us up here. I'm mad. Ryan?
Are you talking to him? Is that what you're doing?
No, yeah, I just... Yeah.
Is that one of the pauses?
Because
that...
I know he listens.
Could you say over when you're done, guy? It just helps on the radio frequency. It's like...
Over.
Thank you.
Over.
Yeah, thank you. I was going to say, I think that this is a smart play from Disney because, one, Deadpool is probably the most successful of the franchises from Fox that they bought. Everything else kind of tanked.
Right. Venom did really well in China for some reason.
But that's Sony.
I don't know why.
Still not theirs. But I think it's smart of them to keep it around. And it's also smart because I think there needs to be some awareness that they need to expand what they can do a little bit too, right? They need to push outwards, explore the edges a little bit, like we were just talking about a little bit with Warner, where not to say, I think all the MCU movies, as we've said before, they're all pretty good. They're all a certain baseline of at least entertaining, but at a certain point, there is the risk of fatigue and the risk of do we just do the same thing kind of? And so being able to push out into those extremes a little bit with something like Deadpool, I think is a smart move to explore that. It is a little tricky because it's now your kids who are MCU completionists. can't watch that one. Sorry.
Well, I suspect they won't make it, so tied into the... It'll be in there. They'll probably get cameos from other people.
Exactly. But it won't be tied to the plot.
It'll be a standalone thing.
Yeah. And that is also smart.
They're not going to expect little kids to go see
that. No, I mean, that movie, if you are not pulling cameos from MCU actors, you are missing an opportunity.
Look at the man get shot through the head.
Yeah. I was just saying, you're missing an opportunity if you're not pulling any cameos from the MCU, because that will just be hilarious. And it probably gives them a chance to do stuff that they would not do in any other MCU movie.
Right.
Right. I mean, he's going to chop off Tony Stark's head, right? that's a gimme.
Probably not that, but maybe.
I doubt that.
Really?
I doubt that.
Why?
Yeah. Seems excessive.
Yes. I very much doubt it. Because he's supposed to be a good guy. Ostensibly he's a good guy.
What are you talking about? No, he's going to kill people.
He's going to kill people. He's not going to kill Tony Stark.
Why not?
Oh my God.
What do you mean? There's literally a comic book series about Deadpool versus the Marvel Universe. And he kills everybody.
I'm sure he had a really good reason, though.
Do not, under any circumstances, say that people have a good reason for violence.
I'm talking about in the
punchy
comic
guy
book
is trying
world.
To have a good time here, John.
Punchy guy, you're a punchy guy after all. I mean,
it's true.
Your catchphrase is violent.
Anyway, Dan,
here's an episode title for you.
We don't even do those.
Clobbering time, also violent.
Yeah, true. Hulk smash,
violent. Yeah.
Superman, I'm going to burn.
Kind of, maybe a little.
Yeah, Superman's, I'm going to burn your head off with my laser eyes. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. He doesn't say it that much, but.
No, but when he pulls it out, you're in trouble.
But when he does, it's not good. Yeah, or I'm going to snap your neck.
He just generally doesn't lead with that, which is smart. Probably smart.
How about I'd strangle a horse?
If I get backed into a corner, I will snap your neck.
Yeah, I think just to lead into that a little bit, some of the stuff, just the early headlines I've seen about WandaVision, and I have been studiously avoiding reviews. but people pointing out that it is definitely like weird and a different take on stuff. And a lot of people saying, again, it seems like a smart move when the company is, you know, it's proved that it's really great at producing blockbusters. It has not yet proved it's really great at producing smaller serialized content. We all have high hopes, but you know, it's a different
Mandalorian.
Marvel versus Marvel. Star yeah, Wars. Let's like distinguish right. those.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you that there is a template for Disney doing it well. I think Marvel has not proved that that is something that they're great at yet. I have no reason to believe that they're not. I'm just saying like they haven't done it. And it's right. like switching, you know, genres or forms of media or something like that, right? Like it's like going from writing novels to writing short stories.
But I saw an amazing interview with Neil Gaiman today, I believe, with Seth Meyers, who is whatever. It's a late night comedy show, and it is what it is. But often it turns out these people are actually really super insightful, and Seth nailed it, and it was a really really good interview. Maybe we can put that in the show notes, but it had to do with adapting American Gods to the screen and eventually adapting Sandman. And these things can be done. I'm not entirely sure that you don't lose a lot in the translation, right? Like screen and movies are a different thing. But ultimately, I really, really do feel that TV shows are so aligned with comic book issues that I really do think you can take a comic book story and just adapt it to being a show. And I would love to see that. There's a difficulty in taking something that is written for one medium and presenting it in another. But ultimately, I really do feel that if you're going to take a sequentially told visual story and move it to any medium, I think TV is the best one to do so. I don't know how you guys feel.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more flexibility. I think, I mean, I would actually equate movies to be closer to short stories, as I've always said, than TV shows, right. which are closer to novels, just in terms of... Right. You have time to do stuff that you can't do, like an hour and a half to 2 hours in a movie. Like we see this already with things like Endgame, which stretch to so long that you're like, oh man, what if this had just been a mini series instead of a 3 hour movie? Like you're straining the limits of what you can do in film at that point. And I think, you know, that's why that's one good reason to make that move into TV. As you just said, like there's so much more flexibility there. I saw them talking about, for example, the run times of the WandaVision episodes, and I think I saw it suggested that the first two at least are closer to like half an hour because they're kind of, you know, sitcom, mm-hmm. the sitcom angle, and that they vary, right? Kind of like with The Mandalorian, where it's like you take as much time as you need to tell the story that you want to tell. That is amazing, right? Like that even takes it a step further than adapting to sort of like your classic TV format, where it's like, well, we've got to be 42 minutes long, right? Because we got to set up the problem for Picard in Act One, and then he's got to deal with it, and then he's got to have a resolution at the end, and it's 42 minutes, and there you go.
Then you come back.
Guy, are we going to let Dan get away with making the Star Trek reference?
We're not.
It's too late.
It's nice to have both, right? I mean, I am definitely. I think a lot of people, and then the other thing is like I think a lot of people are feeling sort of comic book movie fatigue, and so hopefully these create another avenue to tell slightly different stories right. that are more, you know, that are a different way of looking at it that make the genre compelling, not continue to be the same kind of formula.
I think you know, if I can indulge in a bit of just, I don't know, the conspiracy theory is too far, so we don't need to go to the corner, but like we can go to the speculation sauna. I don't know.
Speculation booth.
Yeah. Speculation booth. And just say that I think one of the reasons that originally, COVID notwithstanding, that Marvel had intended to roll out the Falcon and the Winter Soldier first is that that will probably look a lot more like your typical MCU movie than WandaVision. And
yeah,
there's a kind of an argument that you could have eased people in with that, being like, don't worry, we're still going to make the kind of stuff that you know and you love, but we're also going to do this kind of wackier stuff. Like, we're going to take some more chances. And because of the rearrangement and production schedules, having to debut with WandaVision, like, again, I still think it's probably pretty strong from everything I've seen, but it's definitely going to be a bit more of a left turn. And there will probably be people who are like, but this isn't like the movies that I love or something that. And I, you know, I think that's, you know, they're aware that that's a challenge that they're facing just in the marketing of it. But I think it's a good thing. I think them showing between that and, like, you know, what we've seen of Loki, for example, it seems clear that they are willing to take more risks here, but also at the same time developing stuff like Falcon and the Winter Soldier or the Hawkeye series, where it's probably going to be closer to what we've seen in a lot of the movies.
So
I would think the Hawkeye series might be slightly more comedic.
Yeah, it depends on how much they're pulling.
It still falls in, like, because of Ragnarok, that's...
Sure.
Yeah,
still within bounds.
I take Hawkeye to be, I don't know, maybe Seinfeld with a bow and arrow?
Boy, I hope not, because
I really think it's Seinfeld funny.
That is a take you can take.
I don't know.
What is the deal with arrows?
They keep getting stuck in people.
He's a dog. He eats pizza. He's a pizza dog.
As far as the trippy goes, I agree. I believe you. I think that they're going to lean into more of the trippy stuff. I think they have to. Because the world that they've managed to make has limits. And I think they're beginning to push against the limits of that. And as such, they really, really need to sort of shake things up. You can't introduce the X-Men or the Fantastic Four or whoever, Kang. Is that his name? Kang? Whoever.
Yeah.
You can't introduce them into this reality without, you know, a little bit of footwork. And I think they're going to need to do a bit of footwork over the next few years to sort of introduce these concepts. And a lot of that is going to take being pretty trippy, you know, and maybe WandaVision is going to be the foot in the door so that they can sell you the, have you heard the good news of the multiverse? And it's, in a way, I'm not super thrilled about that. And in another way, bring it on. Let's see it. You're really thrilled, John.
I need.
Really?
Well, it's been a while. You know, it's been. When was the last Marvel thing we saw?
Yeah, but you're like a
Spider-Man.
Well, sure, but Johnny, you are a Fantastic Four maven, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, how's that working out for you?
For sure. Yeah, not good. Yeah, but that's not that. But that's stuff made by other people. That's not stuff made by these people. So, you know. Anyway, I'm definitely looking forward to it, and I am obviously neck deep in this stuff, but
what?
But I still enjoy it. I am not tired of superhero movies at all.
No. I mean, this is the way we make a living, is off of Biff.
Right. Yes.
This is our lifeblood. So no, we're not tired of, you know, superhero stories. But John, what would you like to see from a Fantastic Four movie? you have been a fan since, I don't know, forever? Like childhood, which was what, 1786? Somewhere around there?
Something like that, yeah. It was, yeah. I am as old as this great nation of ours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, just about. Boy, am I right. Feeling it lately.
As beautiful as the hills. As violent as the oceans.
I would like to see it be... I don't know. I mean, I don't have a great sense. I would just like it to be fun, I guess. Maybe, you know, a little more like the way the Spider-Man movies are fun without being... You know, there's still consequences. There are still villains who can be scary, but it's maybe slightly more lighthearted than some of the other movies, I guess. And I'd say a little bit more like that. Not like funny like Ragnarok necessarily, although that would be great too. But just more, you know, I mean, the first family of Marvel, I think maybe should be something that is definitely for everyone.
For his family. Yeah, Dan, do you have... I don't know. You feel like you're... I at least feel like you're sort of on the opposite end of this, where the Fantastic Four was not necessarily a thing when you were growing up.
Yeah, I mean, I knew about it, and I read some stuff, but it was not... It was never one of my... like top, I was an X-Men and Avengers guy more than anything. Because I mean, you know, I was reading comics in the 90s and those were, that's kind of where the action was at that point. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of options for how you handle that. Like, you know, you could do worse than almost emulate, like, you know, a slightly more serious take from like The Incredibles basically, right? Which is essentially the Fantastic Four.
You know what? I told...
Yeah,
I said that on Twitter once, and Wave blocked me. Yeah, it took Todd Vizuri to be like, no, he was saying that out of love for him to unblock me. Which is weird because I say a lot of things on Twitter that should get me blocked, but that counted. I believe in the Fantastic Four.
The Fantastic and the Furious, as we call them.
Yeah, that was about to say the Fast and the Furious. I really do. I like the dynamic. I like the silliness of it. And I really, really like the camaraderie about it. Mm-hmm. More so than the Avengers, which is a team that ultimately is always being in conflict with itself in some way. You know, founding Avenger was the Hulk. So, you know, you're never going to agree with the Hulk. He's going to do what he thinks is right. And he's going to do it hard. But yeah, I really do like the idea of the Fantastic Four. I have watched all of the movies, and none of them have captured my imagination.
No, none of them. None of them are good.
Yeah.
Which is too bad. So that's why I'm... Yeah. That's why I'm excited. That's why I'm excited about, you know... What is it? Fifth time?
Yeah.
Fantastic Chris, fifth time is the charm.
Even Chris Evans, who was a charming human torch. Man, okay. You're really pretty, but I just don't care. I just don't care.
Yeah.
Say, that makes a heck of a segue, as long as we're talking about Chris Evans.
Not caring?
No.
Chris Evans. Reports today, as we record this, that Chris Evans may have been lured back to the MCU. Unclear.
He never left in my heart.
That's right. He went back in time. He was always with us.
Right.
Lots of speculation about what that could mean, whether it's a cameo in something else, whether it's a you know, some other, it sounds like from the talk of it, it's not a Captain America movie. It would likely be him reprising the role a la, you know, Robert Downey Jr. showing up in Spider-Man, for example, as a, you know, supporting character type thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what America needs is Chris Evans in a cap suit, flipping a chair backwards and sitting down and being like, look, here's how democracy works.
Well I've always thought that old Cap would have a good role in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. But I don't know. But
you'd think that, I mean, that would already be done and they wouldn't be making this announcement now unless they're doing it after the fact to let you be prepared that he might show up in that. I don't know.
Hmm.
Certainly possible. I mean, there was also that rumor going around about some actor showing up in WandaVision that you wouldn't believe or something you'd flip out over.
Yeah.
But that could be anything from a actor from the MCU to just like a really famous actor who's not in the MCU yet.
Right.
So yeah. any number of options of that.
You know what? I never thought about it. Can old Cap still kick ass? I bet he can.
I think in the comic book, he does fight a little bit. He's obviously not up to his old...
Yeah, but the Cap we see on that bench, but that, yeah, that guy right. can stand up and kick my ass if I say something racist. Oh, sure. or like, you know, that guy's
any of our asses, for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's a given.
Let's talk about something hard.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I you know, he talked a big game about being done with it. After Endgame, and one could easily understand why. It felt like he went out on a high note. You know, tough to follow that in some ways. That said, I'm sure he likes money. We all like money. I'm not being cynical, just pointing out, like, you know, A, yeah. I think he is iconic in that role, and he... You know, given the opportunity, and especially, you know, I would say not a small part of what Guy just said about everything that's going on, you know, I could see why it is attractive to play somebody to step back into that shield, as it were. Like,
yeah,
I feel like that, you know, if that was your option out there and you're like, man, I just, you know, it feels good to play that character. And I feel like that character has a ethos and a, you know, personality that is... speaks to people and is potentially, you know, a positive message. I think that there's a strong argument for that. Plus, I also feel like it's tough to come out of these huge franchises playing these characters and then to move on to other things. And not to say Chris Evans hasn't done that, and it wouldn't be perfectly fine at that, but like it's a hard shadow to come out from under, I think.
I honestly do think that role affected him more so than
I think so too. I mean, I think you're right.
Robert Downey Jr. was Tony Stark. That's it. It's who he was. I think Chris Evans took that role and became Captain America. And I honestly think that changed him for the better. Not that I think he was a bad person before, but I think that it has...
Yeah,
informed. I mean, it put him in a big
spotlight. Big spotlight for one thing, and it also because he's a decent guy, he handled that well, and tried to live up to it.
Right.
I mean, and I don't mean like Captain America, but just like the responsibility of being in a high profile role like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And man. Could we do with a Captain America right now?
Sure. We could use a whole team of them.
No, because everybody else on the team ends up evil, and then we've got to fight them.
That would be
we had some discussion in the Incomparable Slack about whether or not they might do the evil Cap thing, and we're all like, no, please, no.
Oh, like the Hail Hydra Cap?
Yeah, exactly.
No, not now.
I don't think anybody wants that right now.
That's true.
Or well, maybe ever.
70 few some odd million that night. But we're not talking about that. Because Punchy Guy is here to talk about comic books.
Next subject.
Next subject is...
Dan, you are so long-suffering, and I love you so much for...
Guess what, guys? We're out of topics.
Oh, okay. Well, talk to you next week about WandaVision. Goodbye.
I was going to ease us out a little bit more than that, but...
Beep, bloop.
Not that much more. Yeah, I mean, WandaVision is coming. It is going to usher in the age. So they've said it's going to run. It's 9 episodes, I believe, is what I heard. The first 2 drop tomorrow as we record this, as I mentioned. Winter Soldier, I think, has already, they've already put a stake in the ground. I want to say March 19th is the debut for Winter Soldier and Falcon. By my admittedly terrible math skills, I think that means there's basically 1 or 2 weeks off in between the shows, which is smart because you're not going to unsubscribe to Disney Plus for 2 weeks, right? Are you? And I would expect that to basically keep rolling. And that was an interesting thing. I mean, you know, we talked about the fatigue and we talked about changing up stuff. I think it's interesting to see Marvel adapting to this reality of, like, you know, as we've talked about with Star Wars and Star Trek on other shows on the Incomparable, like, this is the future where it's basically going to be, you know, these shows are rolling into each other essentially constantly. Like, there will be a Marvel show on TV basically constantly, probably for the next year. So sit back and enjoy the ride, because we'll be here along with you to discuss it.
Right. We're going to be living large. This...
That sounds like
this is going to be a huge payday for all of us.
Well, I don't think that's how that works.
Well, at least have something to talk about.
That is how it works. All right, we're wrapping up. And of course, I'd like to thank my co-host, John Maltz. Thanks for being here.
I am...
Yeah, me too. I'm me too.
You're all out. Tank's empty.
I was just going to redo my punchy thing, but then I thought, no, I can't do
that. It's fine. Punchy guy English, thanks for being here.
I miss you. I love you.
We're right here.
I know.
He's talking to somebody.
Okay, off mic.
He's talking to us anymore.
No, I'm speaking to you, John Maltz, and you, Dan Warren.
He's talking to his agent.
Yeah. He's nothing working gets you an Asian punchy, faster punchy guy than series. Being like, hey, you know what?
They're workshopping punchy guy.
Just, I love you. I love talking to you. I have no idea why it's wrong. It's a personal failing. I shouldn't like talking to you.
That's probably true. And more to the point, the people out there should not like listening to this, but apparently some of them do. Thank you. We appreciate it. We appreciate your support. We'll be rolling back into our weekly coverage starting next week. And so, you know, we'll have spaces for your letters if you want to send them in to biff@theincomparable.com, or hit us up at BiffCast on Twitter. Or, you know, you can find us in the Biff channel in the Incomparable member Slack. If there's other stuff you want us to talk about, let us know. And we appreciate you tuning in and all your support. And we will see you next week.